Alright, I'm gonna say good morning. Good morning, our favorite important. We're gonna begin Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, three lines down. Amud Rav Ashi. So Rashi says Machlokes Bepri Rishon. So we'll say, remember again on Mem Amud Beis, the Gemara put out a fundamental Machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yochanan about how to redeem or to deconsecrate Shemitah produce. Now remember again, it was we saw in yesterday's Daf already, it's a little bit of a misnomer because when normally we speak about deconsecration, normally what that means is that the Kedusha transfers off one item and it goes to something else. Remember when it comes to Shvius, when it comes to Shemitah items, so very often what will happen is the Kedusha will actually remain both on the original item as well as the item for which it was redeemed. So it's Machlokes in Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yochanan about how deconsecration takes place. Rabbi Eliezer said it only takes place derech mekach, through a purchase, whereas Rabbi Yochanan said bein derech mekach, bein derech hilul, both through a purchase as well as deconsecration, it works. It says the Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi, Machlokes b'pri rishon. The Machlokes is only in the case of pri rishon, and Rashi says pri rishon is perish shvius. Only with the actual Perosh Shvius. That's when Rabbi Eliezer says that it only works derech. I'm sorry. That's when Rabbi Eliezer says that it only works with Mekach and not with derech Hilo. Ava bePri Sheni, what the Gemara calls Pri Sheni. I will say, what's Pri Sheni? Pri Sheni is what Rashi says is Demei Shvius, the value of the Shemitah produce. Meaning, once you've already gone ahead and exchanged the produce itself for money, that by definition can be deconsecrated subsequently, either through a sale or through redemption. Aval Pri Sheni Divyakol Bein Derech Mekach Bein Derech Hilo. I Vahadik Tani Lakach Lakach. I, but in the Brabos, in the Brisa Amud Beis. Memorial days, where the Brisa spoke about again taking Perosh Shvius, changing it for money, using the money to purchase bus, or so on and so forth, all this kind of stuff, or I should say, even without the money. The Brisa spoke about deconsecrating the Shemitah produce on various other items. I did the Tani Reisha Lakach, Tani Nami Seifa Lakach. That's not a kasha, because the Brisa there was just using the Lashon of Lakach to create a sense of textual symmetry. Esvi Ravina Ravashi. So Ravina brings a kasha to Ravashi. If somebody has a sella is a coin of shvius produce. So again, I should say a sella that has kiddushas shvius. So ubikesh likach bocholok. And Rabbi said, but here's the issue: I would like to be able to purchase a shirt. I'd like to be able to, or a cloak. I want to be able to purchase a shirt with that money. What's the problem? You cannot go ahead and use Shemitah money to purchase a shirt. So what do you do in this kind of situation? Ketigase, what should you do? Yeilech etzel chenvini. You should go to the storekeeper, haragil etzlo, that you have a relationship with. Va'omerlo, and tell the storekeeper, tainli besela peros. Do me a favor, give me a sela's worth of fruit, of peros. No saying low, and he gives it to him. I will say what happens over here, you're going to see there's going to be a little bit of a setup, a little bit of what we call you don't always do the word harama, because harama means like trickery. It's not trickery, but it's a little bit of a shtick. It's a little bit of a shtick. So a cooked scheme, right? So what happens over here? So I have my sela that is Dmei Shvius. I go to the storekeeper. I say to the storekeeper, listen, I want to purchase a sella's worth of produce. Now, both say, when I do that, what ends up happening is what? The Kedusha sanctity transfers to the produce. The coin itself now becomes chulin. The coin itself becomes chulin. Because remember, we're a couple of steps removed already from the original Perosh Shvius. So the coin itself becomes chulin. Then what? Vinosimo. Okay, so now I purchase. Now I have, instead of a sella that is kadosh with Kedusha Shvius, I now have a sella of fruit that is kadosh with Kedusha Shvius. The chozer va'omerlo. And then I go back after I now have the fruit, and I say to the chenvini, I say to the storekeeper, "Hare va'omer lo, hare peros halal nusurim l'chal matana." And then what do I say? I'm a nice guy. So what do I say? You know what? I've had a change of heart. You keep the money. It's okay. You don't have to give back the money. I'm giving you back these fruit as a matana. So now I'm giving back the chenvini peros that have kedusha shvi is back as a matana. Okay. Vahu omer lo. And the chenvini says, you know what? In the spirit of brotherhood, we're exchanging gifts. That's beautiful. Let me give you this sela as a matana. Now, Rabosai, that might be the same exact sela that I gave him, but here's the interesting part. When I gave it to him, it was Dinei Shvius. And now when I get it back from him, what is it? It's chulin. V'ha'lo lokeach b'hen mashiyirtze. And Rabosai, what happens? So now, here's the chap. See, the chenvini is not on the hook, but the chenvini now has possession of Peroshvius. So just the Chen Beni has to be aware that he is going to have to consume that fruit in accordance with the Kedusha of Shemitah produce. But the good news is, that's his problem, the good news is that I've now got my coin and I can do with it whatever I want. I can purchase produce, I can do with it whatever I want. So the Gemara says, V'ha ha'cha d'pri shenihu. V'katoni derech mekach. Aye, but this is a case of pre-sheni, because we're talking about money over here. This is a case of secondary, what we call secondary produce, meaning, I will say, remember, the pre-rishon is the Shemitah produce itself. Anything that's been exchanged for the produce is going to be called pre-sheni. So aye, this money is now called pre-sheni, and yet what? V'katoni derech mekach in derech chilulio. But yet, the way the case is set up is that the only way to ultimately deconsecrate that money is through a sale, and not through stam deconsecration. So you see from here, that's not like what we said before. Rav Ashi wanted to suggest that the machlokes is only in the pre-rishon, but by pre-sheni, everybody agrees that bein mekach, bein chilul. But yet we see over here, according to this price, so it's only going to work derech mekach, elo amar Rav Ashi, machlokes per pre-sheni. So Rav Ashi comes along and says, no, let's reframe that. The machlokes is only in the case of pre-sheni. Again, dmei shvius. About the pre-rishon, when it comes to pre-rishon, divrei hakol derech mekach in derech chilul lo. When it comes to the pre-rishon, the actual shvius itself, everyone agrees that what? That can only be deconsecrated through a sale, but not through stam chilul. I, the Gemara says, v'hadik tani, echad shvius ve'echad ma'isur sheni. But what about the rice that spoke about before? Whether you're dealing with items of Shemitah or ma'isur sheni, my shvius, what does it mean when it spoke about shvius over there? Dmei shvius. Oh, again, I will say that's talking about proceeds from the sale of produce of Shvius. Look at Rashi for just a moment. So it's v'hadik tani bebraisa de meseyele Rabbi Yochanan achas Shvius v'achas maisros mischalalin alma Shvius atzma derech hidulo. But the braisa said earlier that both Shvius as well as maiser in this case is dafka referring to maiser sheni, can be deconsecrated just through stam chilu. Therefore, you see that again that even. that even actual produce can be deconsecrated itself without mekach. So the Gemara says, no, what is that talking about? Dmei shvius. That too is not talking about the produce itself, but rather talking about the value from the sale of Shemitah produce. The ilo teimachi, because if you don't say this, meiser, then you're going to say meiser mamish, because you were talking about actual meiser sheni produce. That can't be. V'haksiv v'tzarta hakesef biyadecha. The pasuk, when it talks about the idea, look at Rashi, v'haksiv v'nasata v'kesef v'tzarta, that same braisa speaks about the concept of the consecration of meiser as well as shemitah on other items as well, like basar. So the Gemara says it can't be talking about meiser sheni itself, because meiser sheni itself can only be deconsecrated onto a coin. The coin itself can then go ahead and then buy something else, but you can't go ahead and deconsecrate Meister Sheni directly onto something else. So from there you see that the Bryce that's talking about direct deconsecration is not talking about Shemitah produce or Meister Sheni produce, but rather Dmei Shvius and Dmei Meiser, which would then make it Meister Sheni, which would then make it pre-Sheni, which would then support Rav Ashi's second approach, which was that the Machlokes in Rav Eliezer and Rav Yochanan is only in the case of pre-Sheni. But in pre-Rishon, everybody is going to agree that it can only be deconsecrated Derech Mekach and not Derech Chilul. Says the Mishnah, Barishon, I will say in the beginning, when it says, by the way, in the beginning means when there wasn't Beis HaMikdash. So, Hayalulav Nitol B'Mikdash Shiva B'Mdina Yomach Echad. The lulav was taken in the Beis HaMikdash for 7 days, and in the Medina, now I'll say, there's an interesting discussion, we're not going to get too into it right now, as to what Medina means. If you look at Rashi says over here, Medina, B'Yerushalayim Sha'afhi Kigvulim. So according to Rashi, Medina means anywhere outside of the Beis HaMikdash, including the rest of Yerushalayim. There are other opinions that hold that Medina means outside of Yerushalayim, that Yerushalayim has essentially the din of the Beis HaMikdash itself. But okay, we'll go with Rashi for now. So in the beginning, lulav was taken for all 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash. All 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash. And again, Rashi also points out that we learned that out from the Pasuk, So the idea is you will rejoice before Hashem, your God, for 7 days. So the Gemara understands that Lifnei Hashem refers to what? Refers to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so therefore, again, in the beginning, Lulav was taken for 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash, and Uba Medina, and outside of the Beis HaMikdash, only 1 day. Only 1 day. Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted, Shehe Lulav Nital Uba Medina Sheva Zecher LaMikdash, that Lulav should be taken outside of the Beis HaMikdash as well, all 7 days, Zecher LaMikdash. Also remember, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was one of the pivotal figures during the Second Temple era, specifically towards the end of the Second Beis HaMikdash. He was one who negotiated with Vespasian. He was one who said, he was really responsible for saving the Jewish people. So he made a number of different takanos, what we call Zecher LaMikdash. Just to point out to you, by the way, Soloveitchik actually points this out, there are two different types of takanos. There are takanos Zecher LaMikdash, and there are takanos Zecher LaChurban. And those are two different things. Zecher LaChurban is to remember the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Zecher LaMikdash is to remember the practices of the Beis HaMikdash to keep them alive. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is that Zecher LaChurban are practices that are there to intensify mourning, versus Zecher LaMikdash are practices that are there to stoke the fire of eager anticipation for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. So this is a positive commandment, or a positive enactment, I should say, of Zecher LaMikdash, that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't want us to forget what was done in the Beis HaMikdash so that we should get excited about it. Furthermore, another takana, also, there's another interesting one. And the day Yom HaNeif means the day of the waving. What it literally means is the day that the Omer is brought. The Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach. So he also instituted that in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, you may not eat Chadosh. Chadosh is wheat that grew since last Pesach. So for example, this year we're going to celebrate Pesach Tav Shin Ayin Dalid, right? Tavshin Ayin Dalid. And so let's say wheat that began to grow, that took root after Pesach Tavshin Ayin Gimel. So all of that, this past year's wheat, between Pesach and Pesach, is called Chadosh, and only becomes permitted after the offering of the Karban Omer on the second day of Pesach. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted that in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, you may not eat Chadosh the entire day of the 16th. You must wait until the night of the 17th to partake of Chadosh. And I will say, what's interesting over here is if you look at Rashi, right, it's in the Rashi, remember, when the Beis HaMikdash stands, when can you eat Chadosh? You can eat Chadosh mishekarav ha'omer ha'yo'ochlim Chadosh bo bayom. They would eat Chadosh as soon as the Karban Omer was offered. Kidichsiv ad aviyachem. Ukishekarav ha'bayis mutar min ator mishir ha'mizrach. Now, here's what's interesting. Mid Oraisa, when there is no Karban ha'omer, Chadosh becomes permitted when? Immediately upon daybreak of the 16th. Rashi points out, Kid Amar b'menachos, Kasuv echad omer ad etzem hayom hazeh, dahayinu heira mizrach, because again, we have contradictory psukim. One pasuk says, ad etzem hayom hazeh, that you may not go ahead and eat the chadosh ad etzem hayom hazeh, and ad etzem hayom hazeh means, dahayinu heira mizrach, dawn. The kasuv echad omer, another pasuk says, ad aviyachem, until you bring the carbon omer. Hakeitz, so how do we reconcile the difference? Bizman di'ika omer ad aviyachem. When there is a Karban Omer, you may not eat Chadosh until the actual Karban is brought. Ubizman deleka Omer, when there is no Karban Omer, ad etzem hayom ad etzem. You can actually, so I'll say it's interesting, it's actually more lenient. When there is no Beis HaMikdash, there is no Karban Omer, you can begin to eat Chadosh as of daybreak on the 16th. When there is a Karban Omer, you must wait for the Karban Omer. So what happened? And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai now is here as being machmir, and he's saying even though midoraisa, bless you, you can go ahead and you can eat the Karban HaOmer as of daybreak, I am legislating that you may not eat it the entire day. You must wait until the next day, the 17th. Says the Gemara. Minalan da'avido zecher l'mikdash. Also, it's a very important Gemara. Where do we know that we have the concept of doing something zecher l'mikdash? Where do we know that from? That there's a concept of, here's what's interesting about this. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai comes along and makes a takana zecher l'mikdash. How do we know that we make takanas zecher l'mikdash? How did he know to do this? This is amazing. So the Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Yochanan d'amakra, because the pasuk says, Ki ela aruk alach, I will go ahead and create a remedy for you. This is a pasuk from Yirmiyahu. I will create a remedy for you. I will heal you. I will heal you from your afflictions. They call you forsaken. They call you set aside, referring to Yerushalayim. Tzion hi, but you are Tzion, Dorish ein la. No one seeks you out. So Yirmiyahu here is talking about the aftermath of the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go ahead and heal us from our afflictions. But he speaks at the idea that Tzion is cast aside and no one is seeking her out. Ein Dorish, ein la, so that when the fact that the Navi says no one's seeking her out, Michlal de Bayadrisha. So we'll say, no one's seeking her out is the Navi giving us a shtach. No one is seeking her, which indicates to us what? We need to seek her. So that's the concept of Zeichel HaMikdash. Zeichel HaMikdash is this idea that the Navi says, no one's seeking you, and that's the punishment. From here we see that Lamaisa was supposed to always seek out Tzion, and this becomes a scriptural proof of the idea of Zeichel HaMikdash. Interesting. V'shiyei Omari, Rav says, it's a beautiful Gemara. So Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai said, you can't eat Chodesh the entire day of the 16th of Nisan. Why not? My time, also listen to this. Mehira Yibana Beis HaMikdash. Because halavai the Beis HaMikdash will be built speedily in our days. Amen. The Yomro, what's going to happen? The Yomro, Ishtakiv Milo Achanu Behir Nisra Hashtanami Necho. Also, what's going to happen? The Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt speedily in our days. And what's going to happen? People are going to say, oh, last year when we didn't have a Beis HaMikdash, when did we eat Chadash? When did we eat Chadash? Right, first thing in the morning. And they will assume that what? The same thing will apply this year, even with a Beis HaMikdash. Hashtanami Necho. Ve'inu lo yodin, they will not realize, bless you, the Ishtakid last year, didn't have a Beis HaMikdash. Heir Mizrach Hitter, as soon as dawn dawned, that allowed us to go ahead and eat Chadash. Hashta Di'ika Beis HaMikdash, but now that there is a Beis HaMikdash, Omer Matir. That the Omer is what's necessary in order to go ahead and allow for consumption of Chadash. Therefore, I will say, apparently, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, in order to avoid any kind of confusion that may arise from one year to another, especially in the year that the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, Rabbi Yochanan says, don't eat Chadash the entire day of the 16th. That way, again, we are on the side of caution. And when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, we'll begin to eat Chadash again after the Omer is brought. So the Gemara says, okay, this is such a fascinating discussion. The Ivni Emas. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, let's analyze this. So remember, you have a concern that essentially if we allow you to eat Chadash first thing in the morning, as is the Midoraisa law, as is true Midoraisa, you're nervous that people are going to get confused from the year the Beis HaMikdash is being rebuilt. It's being rebuilt to think that just like last year we ate it at dawn, so too this year we'll eat it at dawn. But the problem is this year we have a Beis HaMikdash, and if you eat it before dawn, you're in violation because you have to wait for the Karban HaOmer. So Gemara says, in Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, in your model, when is the Beis HaMikdash going to be rebuilt? The Ivni Amos. What he's asking is, when are you going to have a situation of where there will be confusion? So when's the Beis HaMikdash going to be rebuilt? Ilema the Ivni Bishisar. If you're going to say the Beis HaMikdash is being rebuilt on the 16th of Nisan, which is the second day of Pesach, then what? Hari hitir Heir Mizra. It was like, then already again, once the dawn of the 16th comes, and what? And it's not built yet. Then by definition, dawn permits the consumption of Chadash. Ela de Ibni Bichamesa. Rather, what must we be talking about over here? That it was built on the 15th. Mechatzos Hayom Ulahalon Tishturi. So if that's the case again, that if it was built on the 15th, first day Pesach, then what? Then at least allow the consumption of Chadash from midday of the 16th and on. The Hotna, because we learned, Harachoki Mutar Mechatzos Hayom Ulahalon. Because also again, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, so remember again, even those communities that were far from the Beis HaMikdash, it was known that you were permitted to eat Chadash by when? By midday on the 16th. Why? Because the Beis HaMikdash was very on top of their obligations, and the Omer was never delayed past Chatzos Hayom. So even if you're concerned about confusion year to year, so you don't have to say the whole day is Aser. Just say you can't eat it before Chatzos. So the Gemara says, no. Lo tzicha de ibni belayla. So now, what are we concerned about? That it's going to be built at night. They'll say this will be the night of the 16th. The night of the 16th, and therefore what? The building will begin, but it will not yet be completed in time by Chatzos of the day. Inami, or for that matter, samach l'shkiyah sachama, it'll only begin before sunset. Okay, so we'll say, so obviously, so the point is over here, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai feels that there's a concern that confusion may arise from the year without a Beis HaMikdash to a year with a Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, he says, in order to avoid any kind of confusion, he just simply legislates that we don't eat Chodesh the entire day of the 16th. Comes longer on Nachman, Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, B'shitas Rabbi Yehuda Amrinam. No, it's not true. The truth is, Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Rav Nachman is the following. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, B'shitas Rabbi Yehuda Amrinam. Really, what's happening over here is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai holds like Rabbi Yehuda. What does Rabbi Yehuda say? The Amar min HaTorah Aser. They both say Rabbi Yehuda holds that really Chadash is Aser. Chadash, in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, Chadash is Aser midoraisa the entire day of the 16th. Dichsiv Amar Beis, because the pasuk says Ad Etzem Hayom Hazeh, because the pasuk says that you may not eat Chadash ad etzem hayom hazeh. And how do we translate etzem? Ad itzumo shel yom. Rabbi say itzumo means the entirety of the day. You see, there are two different ways you could translate the word etzem. Actually, three different ways. Etzem can mean midday, etzem can mean dawn, and etzem can mean the end. So Rabbi Yehuda understands that the word etzem ultimately means the end of the day. So according to Rabbi Yehuda is in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, midoraisa, you may not eat Chadash until the end of the 16th. V'kasavar ad v'ad v'chlal. And he includes mamish itzumo shom, includes the entirety of the day. So now what we're suggesting is, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is not worried about Mehiri Yibon HaMikdash. I mean, halavai. Mehiri Yibon HaMikdash. Halavai. But that's not what's driving him over here. What's driving him over here is a simple Gzeir Sakosov. The Pasuk says, he only sounds like Rabbi Yehuda. And by the way, I will say, Rabbi Yehuda actually is the top. If you look. Yeah, actually. Yeah. So, he actually passes in midoraisa, the entire day is Aser. So the Gemara says, is that true? V'ha miflik poligale. But we have, it seems to be that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai actually argue. After all, the pasuk says, "Disanyo mishecharav Beis HaMikdash." When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sheyehe yom hanef kula aser. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted that the entire yom hanef of the Rebbe means the day of the waving. First, the waving of the Omer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says the entire 16th is aser by Chadash. Omer Rabbi Yehuda said, "I v'halo minat Torah hu aser." So Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, "I but minat Torah it's aser. Why do you have to legislate that it's aser? Midaraisa it's aser. Dichsiv ad etzem hayom azeh ad itzumo shel yom." So the Gemara says, "Rabbi Yehuda hu dikatoi." The truth is, it's not Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yehuda was mistaken about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's position. Who savra midrabbanan kamar? See, Rabbi said Rabbi Yehuda thought that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was saying that the entire day of the 16th is aser. He thought that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was saying that it's aser midrabbanan. Velohi, that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was saying. He was saying midoraisa ka'amar. He was saying, no, the entire day of the 16th is what? Is aser midoraisa. Is aser midoraisa. But how could that be? Vaha hiskin ka'amar. But by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, sheet that used lashon of hiskin. Hiskin means what Rabbi said? He enacted like a takana, which seems to be, again, we're talking about something rabbinic over here. Vaha hiskin ka'amar. To which the Gemara says, nah, my v'hiskin, what does it mean, hiskin? Dorash v'hiskin. It means Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai darshind the pasuk, ad etzem hayom hazeh, to mean itzumo shel yom, the entirety of the day, ad ve'ad bichlal, the entire day is included, and therefore he arranged the halacha in accordance with this drasha of the pasuk. So Rashi says over here, v'hiskin, lefi shayri gilin le'echo chadash mechatzos, what he had to be matakin was the following. Rabbi Yochanan, when there wasn't, remember, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived with the Beis HaMikdash, without a Beis HaMikdash. So in that first year after, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so what happened? So l'maisa, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had to get up and say, listen, the pasuk is ad etzem hayom hazeh, ad itzumo shayom, ad ve'ad bichval, the entire day is aser, and I know this is different than what you had before. Because beforehand, we could eat Chadash from Chatzos and on. Now, please understand, the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, the halacha has fundamentally changed. So I will say, two different understandings of what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was saying. Either, Mehiru Yibana HaMikdash, this reflects Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, incredible optimism. The Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt speedily in our days. And therefore, to avoid confusion, we simply aser the entire day of the 16th. Or second possibility is that, no, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai holds that midoraisa, in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, the entire day of the 16th is Aser b'Chadash. Okay, says the Mishnah, Yom Tov Harishon Shel Chag Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos. What's another beauty? This is all beautiful Gemara. First day of Sukkot that falls out on Shabbos. Kol Ha'am. Kol Ha'am Molichin Es Lulavein LeBeis HaKnesses. Everybody would bring their lulav to shul. And this was meaning on Erev Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, everybody would bring their lulav LeBeis HaKnesses. LeBeis HaKnesses. And what happens? LeMacharas, the next day, Mashkimin Uba'in Kol Echad VeEchad Umakir Es Shalom. So I'll say what happened. So people came the next day and everybody recognized their own lulav. So people, I don't know, they labeled their lulav and whatever they had to do. So they would go ahead, they'd bring their lulav on Erev Shabbos. They'd put their lulav in the Beis HaKnesses. It's actually interesting over here. We'll see, I will say what this Beis HaKnesses was. We'll discuss that actually in a later Mishnah. And the next day everybody would come back and recognize his own lulav. But no, and he would take his own lulav. Why? Because the Chachamim say a person cannot go ahead and discharge his obligation on Yom Tov with his friend's lulav. So meaning, what's interesting over here is you might have thought, listen, everybody brings their lulav. And the truth is, like, we have an understanding. Essentially, whichever one you pick up is yours. So, but the Gemara says, Mishnah says, that's not what happened. Everybody recognized their own lulav. Everybody picked up their own lulav. Why? Because for the first day of Sukkot, you need to have your own lulav. You can't be yotzei with your friend's lulav. Ushayim osachad, but for the rest of the days of Yom Tov, adam yotzei dechavasu b'lulav shel chavero. A person could discharge his obligation with the lulav of his friend. Rabbi Yossi says, Yom Tov harishon shel chag shechal yos b'Shabbos. If the first day of Yom Tov fell out on Shabbos, first day of Sukkot fell out on Shabbos, v'shachach v'hotzi es halulav. And Rabbi Yossi, again, remember, you obviously can't carry the lulav on Shabbos because you have an issue of hotzah. You have an issue, even though normally carrying is permitted on Yom Tov, obviously, when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, so the Shabbos laws applies in terms of carrying. Therefore, you can't carry your lulav. That's why everybody is bringing their lulav to shul before, to the Beis HaKnesses before Shabbos. Let's say you accidentally on Shabbos, you forgot, and you walked out of your house into the Rosh Hasharabim with your lulav, potter. The halacha is that you're potter. You're not chayiv for hotzah. Why? Shotzio birshus. Rabbi says it's very interesting lashon. Why? Because you took the lulav out with permission. Rabbi says, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Shotzio birshus, birshus mitzvah. You took it out under the guise of the rishus of the mitzvah. Shahaya tarud b'mitzvah, because again, you are preoccupied with the mitzvah. U'mechashe va'osek u'memaher lasos. And you, because you're preoccupied with the mitzvah, you're rushing to shul. You forgot again. And we told kach ta v'shachach shu Shabbos. V'kasav Rav Yossi ta b'dvar mitzvah v'shagag b'davar kares pater mekarban. So I said, we will see Rav Yossi holds that if you made a mistake because you are preoccupied with a mitzvah, even though you made a mistake with a very serious transgression, you are pater. So in this case over here, you did an act of hotzah. Because you did hotzah, because you're preoccupied with the mitzvah, therefore you are pater. Okay, we'll explain that. So the Gemara goes weiter. When it says mebnei shotzia bereshus, the reshus over here means a mitzvah. Because you were preoccupied with a mitzvah for which you are obligated on that day, therefore you are pater. Okay, the Gemara. Minahanimili. How do we know about Sai that you have to use your own lulav and esrog on the first day of Yom Tov to turn around on them? Because the Braisa says, the rabbis teach, ulakachtem, you shall take it. Shetei lekicha biyad kol echad ve'echad. Everyone must take a lulav and esrog. Lachem. Yours, mishalochem, it must be yours. Lehotzi es hashol, to exclude a borrowed lulav, ves hagazal, stolen lulav. Mikan amru chachamim, from here the rabbi said, ein adam yotzei dechavaso b'yom tov harishon shel chag, b'lulavo shel chavero. From here we learn that you cannot be yotzei, you cannot discharge your obligation on the first day of Yom Tov with the lulav of your, with the lulav of your friend. Elo, im kein natan l'matana. We'll say, but there is one exception, and the exception is what? If your friend gives you his lulav and esrog as a matana, if he gives it to you as a full-fledged gift, then what is he effectively doing? He's conveying ownership of the item to you, and that's okay. That's okay. So Gemara tells a story. Umaisa, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And there was a Maisa, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Akiva, sounds like Shayim Subim b'nei Brak. So okay, so what happens here? They're not in b'nei Brak. Rather, where are they? They are Shayuban Bisfina. They're all on a boat. And Rabbi say, Bilvan. Apparently, they was over Sukkis, and only Rabbi Gamliel had a Lulav. Shelacho Be'elef Zuz. This was a Dalit Minim set that he bought for 1,000 Zuz. Remember again, Rabbi say, it makes sense that Rabbi Gamliel has such an expensive lulav. Why? Who's Rabbi Gamliel? He's the Nasi. He is the Nasi. So he's got the only lulav on board. And what happens? Not from Rabbi Gamliel. The Yotzebo. So Rabbi Gamliel picked up his lulav and esrog, and he made the bracha. And he was Yotze. Then what did he do? Nasan Rabbi Yoshua Matana. He then gave it to Rabbi Yoshua as a gift. Not lo Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua then took it, made a bracha, v'yatzebo. V'nostu the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah ben Matana. And then he gave it to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as a gift. Not lo Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah took it. Not Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. V'yatzebo. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah took the lulav and esrog. He used it, because you must remember, once somebody gives you as a gift, it's yours to convey it to whoever you want. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah took it, and he was yotze with it. V'nostu the Matana Rabbi Akiva, and he gave it to Rabbi Akiva. Not Rabbi Akiva's. V'yatzebo. Rabbi Akiva took it, he was Yotze. Must actually put something out. Also, it's interesting to see that. We don't have time for it today. But the order in which this love was given is also very indicative of the ranking of the sages, which is quite interesting. So Rabbi Akiva takes it, and I will say after he used it, what does he do? Bechziru l'Rabbi Gamliel. Right? And he gave out to Rabbi Gamliel after. So everybody, so you see, what do you see from this story? That if you give a lulav as a matana, that satisfies the criteria of shalachem. That it should be yours. So Rabbi Akiva gave back to Rabbi Gamliel. So the Gemara says, "Lamali lemeimar hechziru." Why does the Gemara have to tell me that they gave it back to Rabbi Gamliel? I mean, who cares? What does that matter? Oh, it teaches us something very important. Milsav agav orche kamashman. It teaches us a very important concept. Matana amenas lahechzir shma matana. That Rabosa, a gift on the condition that you return the gift after you use it, is still what? It's still called a gift. Now, the Gemara, Rabbi Gamliel did not necessarily require them to, I mean, there's nothing in the stipulation. I'm sorry?
It doesn't say that he gave it back as a matana.
Well, it doesn't say that he gave it back as a matana. That could be also, but I'm saying, independent, what the Gemara is saying is that even though at the end of the day, it made it back to Rabbi Gamliel, made it back to the original owner. So lest you think that the fact that it made it back to the original owner somehow takes away from the fact that it was a real gift. Kamasha, that's not true. Even had Rabbi Gamliel explicitly legislated that I'm giving you this as a gift, I will say, now I'll tell you why it wouldn't have necessarily worked. Why I don't think this case can be Matana Amanas Lahaksir. Because if it was Matana Amanas Lahaksir, then what? Then one would not have had the ability to convey it to the other. So I think it's because Rabbi Gamliel didn't give it as Matana Amanas. He gave it as a full-fledged Matana. But at the end of the day, you might have thought that since Rabbi Akiva gave it back, so it's a little bit of like, aha, Rama, it's not a real gift. Kamasha, well, no, even had Rabbi Gamliel been explicit, saying, this is a matana to you, and the condition that you give it back to me, that's still a good matana. Ki ha da amar Rava, as Rava said, ha lach esrog ze, amunashu taksiru eli. Here, this is your esrog, I'm giving you my esrog as a gift, on the condition that you give it back to me. Not lo, if he took it, the yatzabo, and then was yotze with it, v'echziru, and gave it back to me, yatza, then he's yotze. However, lo hechziru, but again, lemaisa, again, if he did not give it back to me, lo yotza, then lemaisa, again, he is not yotze. So Rabbi said, let's do one more line, and then, actually, a few more lines. Lamli lemeimar, shalachu be'elev zuz. Why does it have to tell me that Rabbi Gamliel bought a lulav for 1,000 zuz? To which the Gemara says, lehodi acha, kama mitzvos chavivos alehen. To teach us how precious mitzvos were to our Rabbonim. Then again, Rabbi Gamliel spent 1,000 zuz on a lulav, just out love of the mitzvah. Amrli mar bar ameimar the Ravashi. So mar bar ameimar said to Ravashi, Abba, my father, tsaluye kamatz libe. My father went on sukkis, would actually daven with the lulav and esrog in his hands. He would daven with this in his hands. Look at Rashi. Haba kamatz libe, kishayim ispalel hayo lulav al biyado. Because he loved the lulav so much, he kept it in his hand while he was still davening. I think Gemara says, "Meisve, 1 second. Lo yochaz adam tefillin biyado v'sefer Torah b'cheiko v'yispalo. A person should not hold tefillin in his hand or sefer Torah by his chest and daven. Meaning, you shouldn't daven holding tefillin or holding a sefer Torah. And the Gemara just said, "Lo yashtin ma'im b'hen ma'im." And a person while holding tefillin shouldn't urinate. V'lo yishlam, shouldn't sleep with them. Lo shinas keva, v'lo shinas arai, not a nap or not a longer sleep. Furthermore, again, it's not just holding a sefer Torah tefillin when you daven, but even going and holding a plate or a loaf of bread or money or a knife, you also shouldn't hold while you daven. I will say why? Because when you hold something while you daven, what happens? You're preoccupied with that item. You're not concentrating. So how could Ameimar say that his father held the lulav and esrog throughout davening? Would that not be a problem of preoccupation with the object? To which the Gemara says, no. Hasam lav mitzvah. In all of these other cases, there's no mitzvah involved. V'tarid b'hu. Therefore, again, a person, it takes away from a person's concentration. Hacha mitzvah ninhu. But over here by the lulav and esrog, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. And therefore what? Below tarid b'hu. We'll say, so what the Gemara seems to say is, there's no preoccupation with a mitzvah. Or I should say differently, the preoccupation of a mitzvah is not taking one's mind off the matter at hand. So a person could daven with a lulav and esrog in hand and still pay full attention to the tefillah. However, again, holding other items that are non-mitzvah items, even though a Sefer Torah is a beautiful Sefer Torah, but I'm not fulfilling a mitzvah with it right now. So apparently, again, if you're holding a mitzvah object, so that won't detract from your kavana. Other objects will. All right, so we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up here tomorrow morning. Again, we're going to start here tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. I mean, it's regular time for Daf Yomi. We're not going to do Das Atzmecha tomorrow. We'll just begin with Daf Yomi and Mirtz Hashem at, right? It's because I don't, I'm having 6:45. 6 o'clock in Mirtz Hashem.
Come and give him a ton on Shabbos.
So that we're going to discuss. That we're going to discuss. We're going to see what to do on Shabbos in a case where a person doesn't have a Lulav and Esrog. Baruch Shekivan.